إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. Take it, elders, brothers. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We won't take too much of your time, but just to discuss and elaborate on a few pertinent issues that can have a very serious impact on our everyday lives. First of all, we start with the advices from the Quran Sharif. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us in Surah Al-Rum that calamity and corruption has spread on the land and on the sea because of the actions of man, because whatever man has earned of his deeds. And Allah Ta'ala says, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, in order that they may taste some of the consequences of their actions, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that perhaps they may return. Returning means returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, changing our lives and our actions. So Imam Baydawi also makes commentary on this particular word, fasad, and he says, among four things, two things relevant here, that fasad refers to drought, or it can also refer to mahkul barakat, that means the erasing or the removal or the wiping away of blessings. And today, we know that with the economic situation being as it is, people are in a dire straits in many cases, trying to make ends meet and seeking to find the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rizq. So in this particular verse, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked up of disobedience and sin to the removal of barakah and blessings. And that calamities also are dependent on the type of actions that are performed on the earth. Then again, we find in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala is saying that had the people of the towns and the cities, had they brought faith, had they had iman, and they had taqwa, then what would have happened? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Most certainly Allah is saying, with great emphasis, we would have opened up the doors of blessings from the heaven and from the earth. And here Allah Ta'ala is using the word barakah in plural form, blessings. All the different types of blessings would have been opened up. What was it dependent on? Here again Allah is mentioning, making reference to the actions and iman. Correct faith and correct deeds. So on the one side we find that blessings are being removed because of disobedience and sin. And in the second verse, here Allah Ta'ala is saying that the heavens would have opened up and the earth would have opened up with blessings if we had the correct actions and if we had the correct deeds. So these are two different ayats giving us a clear picture that it is linked to our actions and our deeds. Furthermore, we know as Muslims when we read Surah Fatiha that Allah Ta'ala is declaring to us that He is the sustainer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He is the sustainer of all the worlds. So that is part of our iman and that is part of our faith, that Allah is the sustainer of all creatures from the beginning of its existence, from the time of its birth, through all its different stages of development, right till it leaves the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed what risk must come to that person. And it is not that we want to give any gloom and doom or panic alarms, but it is also important for Muslims to be alert, because wealth is an amanat in the hands of a person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muslims has given us this responsibility to earn rizq in a halal way and to spend it in the proper way also. That is the person we find in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسْكُمْ, strive with your wealth and yourselves in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even wealth is used for the service of Allah's deen, to support Allah's deen. And that is, if it is acquired in the halal way, then it can be spent in that way also. But today we find that for the last few centuries now,
The Khalifatullah has become content with a system other than the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after the Khilafah was destroyed, more and more this situation has become compounded. That we have now become content and complacent, we have accepted a system whereby riba has become the dominant system. The capitalist-based riba system is now dominant, and the entire Muslim ummah is, you know, in interlocked with the system and has accepted the system whereby today any financial product comes out, we now accept, we are happy to exist, merely accept it as Sharia compliant. Whereas what should be the actual original approach is that we have a complete, perfect economic Islamic system, Islamic economic system. And that is what we should be actually striving towards. And here that we see the failure of this capitalist riba system, we're seeing it before our very eyes. And Allah's promised us in the Quran Sharif, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu will wipe out interest and He will give increase to charity. Means Allah subhanahu will wipe out the benefits of interest. People put their monies in to long-term investments and hoping for the benefits of interest. That interest will come, but the benefit in the end of the, at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala wipes it out through so many different means, through accidents, calamities, illness, you name it. That benefit of that interest is being wiped out. Wa yurbi sadaqat, and Allah Ta'ala is saying that you give increase to the benefit of charity. So we don't sometimes understand the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is Allah's promise. And today we are seeing before our very eyes how this banking system worldwide is in serious, serious trouble. So many banks are going bankrupt. So as Muslims, it is for us to realize what is the new way ahead. But first, before we go to that, we need to understand how serious the implications of this system is. I just want to mention a few points here. Some of my colleagues are not actually well today, but they're supposed to do the last part of the program, and they've asked me to complete the whole program. But the main program, as you may be aware, will be on the 29th of March on Sunday at Hathi Road. But just to give us an idea that if we have any ideas of going into business in any way, then it's important that we consider what is actually going on in the world, because unfortunately, the media is not giving us the complete picture. They're giving us a very watered-down picture, but the implications are very, very serious globally, and it could have very serious implications locally also. Only Allah Ta'ala knows best what the future holds for us. But we find that due to this moving away from the Sunnah system of money, we are in this month of Rabiul Awwal, and in this month we have many, many programs on the Seerah, and also the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is discussed. The famous ayat would obviously come to mind. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Most certainly for you in the Messenger of Allah is a excellent model, a complete, perfect model for us. So the Quran Sharif uses the word أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, an excellent model. And if you look at it closely, you will find that in this is implied that there is no other model for us. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the excellent model and an example for us. And even in the economic system, Nabi Sallam gave us a model to follow. In that, in the system was used dinar and dirham, gold and silver coins, which was a standard measure in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today we have also, you know, in our life we have become to accept paper money as the ultimate value and the ultimate wealth. Whereas that actually represents a wealth that is supposed to be kept in reserve. But about 10, 20 years back already, they've removed that promise to pay the bearer on demand from your paper money. Which means your paper money is basically a deception. So had we stuck to the Sunnah money, and demanded that we follow the Islamic economic system, we would not have been deceived into paper money, which continues to lose its value and lose its value until the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. That is not the system of Islam, brothers. That is not the system of Islam. The principles of Islam, it demands that wealth circulates properly amongst everybody in the society. Otherwise, you're going to have a system where the poor keep getting poorer and the numbers of the poor increases, whereas larger and larger amounts of people will be dependent on the few people. So this is not a balanced, moderate system of Islam. The system of Islam includes the benefit for everybody. So therefore, we have to strive very hard to look at an alternate system. Coming to the issue of the financial crisis itself, we know that in the last 18 months, the global stock markets have lost $25 trillion. You know, that may sound, 25 may sound like a small figure, and you're not really clicking in the mind what trillion means. 25 trillion is $25,000, which is equivalent to 85 years of South Africa's GNP. And that's a lot of money that has been lost. Furthermore, and it's money that the entire world has got funds in there. Furthermore, even the Citibank, which is about the largest bank, they are now 82% nationalized because they had to be bailed out with public money. The government had to bail them out. Now, AIG was helped with $180 billion, which is about the largest insurance company. They were assisted with $180 billion. And today, the news came out that President Barack Obama has now decided to step in and take some steps against these CEOs and directors or whatever, because they are still now claiming bonuses, whereas the public money had to bail them out when they were in trouble. Now they're all busy lining up to take their bonuses. So the president himself apparently was quite upset about that, and he's asked the treasurer to put a stop to this. So you can see that greed is also involved in this. And where there is greed, then those people are deprived who are in need. This is the imbalanced system that we are involved in today globally. And therefore, the Muslim Ummah cannot sit by and watch, because ultimately it's going to impact upon all of us. Lloyd's of London, just to give you another incident, which is a well-known bank and insurance company, they have also been nationalized. Came out on the news on the 9th of March. So these are all indications of the seriousness of the financial system. I've also got a few figures here just to mention to you that there's a research organization called Trend. Gerald Salent from the US Trend Forecaster believes that in 2009 we're going to see the worst economic collapse ever, the greatest depression. He believes it could get very violent in the US, including a possible tax revolt, because the people are on the ground who are now jobless, homeless, they're running out of basic essentials, they're going to become desperate. Civil unrest is a high possibility. Therefore, the U.S. government is now recalling many of its troops, planning for an eventual, a possible civil unrest, and they're planning to implement martial law in case this happens. This is in the U.S., the world's largest democracy, the most wealthiest country in the world, and they are going through this problem. So they're speaking about unemployment rates, how many people are losing their jobs and so on. Then I've got another article here, which just to give us, I'm just mentioning a few statistics here, that Dubai once symbolized the economic boom of the 21st century. And you know how everybody likes to run to Dubai because of its so-called wealth. It was viewed favorably by major Western companies that established offices in the country, attracting a large number of foreign workers from Europe, Asia and elsewhere. With an economy to the tune of $46 billion, the Gulf Emirate attracted worldwide attention with its rising property sector. Everybody wants to go invest in property there, even among our people, but we need to be aware of what's currently happening. Today, however, is a different story. The economic situation has deteriorated to the point that expatriates are leaving the country as fast as possible. As reported in the New York Times, jet-ridden foreigners are fleeing Dubai, abandoning their cars at the airport with maxed-out credit cards inside and notes of apology taped to the windshield. So that's just an indication of what's happening in Dubai, which is supposed to be the center for the wealth in the world today. Then there's another article by David Lindorf, which is entitled "Kiss the Gang, the Banks Goodbye." And you know, it's strange that how generally people, including us as Muslims, how we look up to the bank as the Rabb, you know, as the Lord, as our survivor, as our supporter, and our cherisher, and as our sustainer. Everything depends upon our banks. We've taken this bank as another ilah, as another false god. And Allah Ta'ala has also warned us, فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا نُرِيدُمْ أَنْ نُعَذِّبُهُمْ بِهَا. That let not their wealth and their children impress you. And this is what has happened. When you see somebody with a big mansion and a big car, we get impressed. That's human nature. We get impressed. Like the story we find about Fir'aun. When he came out with his wealth, how that person said that, you know, how he wished that he had so much of wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the person who's been given the deen and the knowledge of deen, he is far better off. So here in this verse also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let not their wealth and their children impress you. We only intend to punish them by means of this wealth and these children. And take their souls while they are in disbelief. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with people that have taken other things as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this article by David Lindorf, which is on the website Global Research, says indeed, 1 in 5 homes in America today is technically underwater. That is, it is worth less than the outstanding mortgage on the property. Companies laying off American workers at a rate of over 20,000 per day. And now these things have ripple effects. As for AIG, which we know is an insurance company, one of the largest, in fact, which has received an astonishing $180 billion in taxpayer bailout funds, its total market value today is less than $1 billion. All that bailout money has been lost into thin air. This article here speaks about, coming also from Global Research, civil unrest in America is the question. And it quotes Zbigniew Brzezinski, former national security advisor of the United States. An early supporter of Barack Obama's presidential campaign has warned that civil unrest on American soil is a possibility. Brzezinski explains that the United States is going to have millions and millions of unemployed, people really facing dire straits, and we're going to be having that for some period of time before things hopefully improve. And at the same time, there's public awareness of this extraordinary wealth that was transferred to a few individuals at levels without historical precedent in America. He concludes with this noteworthy remark. Hell, there could even be riots. Yes, this is also a very important quotation. On January 22nd, 2009, the Christian Science Monitor published that the four largest U.S. banks have lost half of their value since January the 2nd. Moreover, in the period from September, from summer 2008 to March 2009, the Dow Jones Industrial Average Index has decreased more than 50%. Unemployment rate has now reached 8.1%, the highest in 26 years. They also speak of 45% of the world's wealth has been lost in this entire saga. Now, the big issue is, what will the impact be on the local scene? Because these things are not isolated. We are now in a global environment. Everybody speaks of globalization and the global environment, with trade links and communication and everything all becoming almost as one big global village. So everything is interlinked and interconnected. We're not living in isolation anymore. The businessman today has been encouraged to become aware of how to make his business globally efficient and competitive. So obviously if there's a problem on one side of the world, its impact is going to be felt locally also. To what extent it will hit us, Allah alone knows. We may be protected from it, Allah alone knows. But as Muslims, we also need to be guarded, we need to be prepared, we need to adjust our lifestyles, try and keep ourselves within the means so we do not get into any difficulties and problems. Those of us who are in financial difficulties, then we have to come up with some measures to try and get out of it quickly, because only Allah Ta'ala knows how serious the problem could become in our country. But if it does, as the signs are there, then we know that as a minority, we are really, we are considered as a soft target, because when people are laid off in the thousands, and then there is unemployment, obviously food could become an issue, people are hungry, the civil unrest is expected in the US, Allah knows this, what could happen here. So the idea is not to create any panic or to create alarm, but just to be aware of the possibilities so that we may be better prepared for it. And in this regard, inshallah, a detailed seminar will be held on Sunday, the 29th of March, at Hartley Hall School. Inshallah, we would like from every community, from every masjid if possible, at least 7 to 10 brothers, to attend that program so that they may be better informed of all the issues that are pertaining to this matter, and they could come back and interact with their community and inform them, and have mushura amongst the local communities, and be prepared for any difficulties that may arise. As we say, it is not to create any panic or to create a gloom and doom, but the signs are on the wall, and it would be foolish for us to ignore this and to keep our head in the ground and expect things to happen out of thin air. We have to make effort to prepare ourselves. So with this in mind, we are making this appeal. You know the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he was marching with his army. In Surah Al-Naml, Allah Ta'ala mentions an incident of that end. So Allah mentions that حَتَّوْ إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمَلِ, until when they came to the valley of the ants, قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ, an ant declared and announced, يَا أَيُّوَا النَّمْلَ دُخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ, O ants, enter into your shelters, enter into your homes. لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, let not Sulaiman and his army trample upon you while you perceive not, while they perceive not, while they may not even be aware that you are under their boots. So Allah Ta'ala recorded that incident because of the fikr and the concern of that ant, that his fellow ants should not be crushed by the boots of the army. So with this spirit in mind, that we are just passing this message to make people aware that many decisions that may be taken in the future should be made with these things in mind, having the correct information, having the correct understanding, with a calm mind, deliberate on these matters, make mashura with your community before making any big decisions relating to these matters, and prepare ourselves if there is a problem. In fact, you might have heard some of the programs on CII where these points might have been discussed, and the guest speaker there was encouraging people that even put food away, because in these type of situations, shortages can arise and people can also become desperate, and you may even have to take precaution of security measures. So Allah knows best to what extent that will come in this country, but it's just worth noting and being prepared for it. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protects the ummah from calamities and fitna, and gives us the tawfiq to work in the service of the ummah and protect ourselves from these calamities. Akhir da'wana and alhamdulillah. If there's any question, then we'll take a few inshallah. Quite a few brothers that's with us in this research, that they also be able to assist us if there's any questions that anybody would like to ask. Alhamdulillah, when we were at Sunford in Phoenix, the brothers there, we may think, are not among the wealthy, but they got a lot of questions pertaining to wealth. And there was a lot of questions that, alhamdulillah, we had to deal with there. So if there's any questions, we'll take it, otherwise we'll close it tomorrow, inshallah. Take it as no questions. Make dua, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك والصلاه والسلام على اشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه وبارك وسلم جزا الله عنا محمد بما هو اهله ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمه امرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدين والآخرة اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وأليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله